Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. And this is a live YouTube show I try to do every Tuesday at 2 p.m. to talk about things I want to talk about, but also answer questions. And we have some good questions this week, so I'm going to get right into it. I have an agenda for today, and it's right here. First, I want to talk about the online courses that I've done. I don't talk about this very much, and I don't think people even know we've done it. So I just want to take a second to chat about it. It's sort of a promotional. This is a commercial for something that I've done. I'm going to share it with you here. A lot of you know that I have this YouTube channel. I do a bunch of videos on the YouTube channel. And we also have a lot of videos on, like, I think it's a pay for, an online course. And the idea is using the online course software is it's very organized and it's very thought out. And it's not just me rambling on a video. It's not just me getting on a behind a camera and saying, hey, here's some stuff. There's actually lesson plans behind everything. We've been very thoughtful about it. My friend Nick helped me with it a ton, get it launched. And a lot of the videos are Nick talking. He wrote a lot of the lesson plans with me together. And some of the videos are me. Some of them are him. And the nice thing about this format and this way of doing learning versus just watching some YouTube videos is that it's organized. It goes in an order. And it's been very thought out. And when time goes on and things change, which my opinion changes, equipment changes, techniques change, I learn something new, I update the course. I can't go back and update YouTube shows I did 4 years ago, but I can go and delete videos and put new ones up or add content as we go. And this is also like people have also asked me to make a catalog of all the YouTube videos to, you know, show people the order to learn. And unfortunately, there's not an easy way to do that. It's just, I can't just catalog them somehow magically. This is a better way if you want a, like to learn how to do, we have three courses. We have a full online rowing course. It's massive. It's really comprehensive. It's $400. We have a small version of that's like 95. And then this is the one I'm promoting today because I'm working on it right now. Our Foundations of Swiftwater Rescue. This is like the knots, the anchors, the mechanical advantage system, some things you should just know. This could be, you should always do hands-on training. There's no substitute for hands-on training. But if you're not going to go spend 3 days and be in a class somewhere and you just want to be at home and like tie the knots and hear some discussions, this is a good substitute. That's $25 and it'll live forever. Like you can refer to back to it 3 years later. Like you can log back in. I'm not going to take your login away. So it's a way to refresh yourself on a lot of things. And I'm just going to kind of go through here real quick. There's just tons of videos. Here's an example. And the other thing about Gear Garage videos is like 1 4-minute video or 1 10-minute video. Here it's nice to break it up into like bite-sized chunks with some text in between. The other nice thing about this format, let's see. Here's another one. Oh, this is locked. I have to, oh man, preview. Sorry, why is that locked? Anyway, the nice thing about it, an example would be for our gear kits. Is I can add PDFs, I can add pictures and not just photos, I can add text to this, and so I can kind of put things. This one is just one video, but if you look at Orb Boat Flipping 101, there's a handful of videos about different things all in one place with examples and quizzes. So there's just tons of information and like bite-sized morsels with text in between. It's just a much cleaner way to lay it out for anybody who wants to learn. So anyway, it's a promotional thing about something I've been working on. I just added a section on the transport hitch. You probably have noticed if you watch Gear Garage, I've done some videos on Gear Garage recently about the transport hitch. And a lot of times my Gear Garage videos are like the first draft or like the practice run. I put that on Gear Garage before I do a more refined version of it for the video. So I just did transport hitch videos and it's here online as well. And then right now I'm in the middle of a vector pole section. And so this morning I taped this vector pole video. And so I continually expand this and make it bigger for those of you that want more education. Again, this rescue part is $25. It's not terribly expensive. So there's that. That's my little promo for something I'm doing. and let's get on to answer questions. So the first question, one more thing, Dave, thanks for being a member. If you want to be a member, it costs like $2 a month. Sometimes I put up videos for members only. I haven't done that for a while, but sometimes I do. So thanks, Dave, for being a member. Appreciate that. And if you have questions throughout the show, just put them in the comments and I'll get to those questions as well. So with this one, hi, Zach. I've heard you talk about having good river shoes on many episodes. I've worn Keens for years on day trips and short overnighters. However, the amount of sand I get in them on the lower salmon this year over a six-day trip caused a lot of uncomfortable rub spots. Plus, if I needed to get out mid-river or walk to a scout, I needed some better stability. What are your recommendations for brands? Are they typically brands you need to wear socks with? Thanks. So shoes are tough. That's why I just say get good shoes, and I leave it to you to figure out. Yeah, that's the disadvantage of sandals. Sandals get rocks in them. Shoes get rocks in them too. You know, like if you get a rock in a Keen, you can kind of like sometimes twist your foot and the rock kind of comes out. If you get a rock in a shoe, you got to take your shoe off. I'm of the opinion that shoes provide better protection for your feet. That seems pretty obvious. But also, if you want good grip, back in the day, not Keens, but Chacos had the 510 soles. They were amazing. We all wore Chacos because you could jump rock to rock, no problem. But they stopped having that sole. And there's not really any really good soles on sandals anymore. I think the Bedrocks are actually pretty good, but they're just strap-on flip-flops. They're pretty minimal. And I think they're, yeah, I wouldn't recommend Bedrocks, but the grip on rocks are pretty good. The only way to get good grip under rocks is with shoes that have some sort of 510 rubber. And so most of the people I know have been wearing Adidas mountain biking shoes. Adidas bought 510 a number of years ago. They sort of discontinued their boating shoes. There was a thing called the 510E that was super awesome. There was a canyoneering shoe that was super awesome. And they just sort of focused on mountain bike shoes. I have a lot of friends who wear mountain bike shoes. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Let's see, get rid of this and then share this screen. Let's see. Sorry, everyone. I'm talking to myself as I get ready to share a screen. So I'm going to talk about Adidas mountain bike shoes. And, you know, I think the ones, let's see, Shot Mountain Bike. Let's see if we can find them. Not all the mountain biking shoes work. This is the one that a lot of people have for kayaking. They're kind of high tops. I have a hard time getting these on and off. It just takes a while, especially the dry suit. I have to bend over a lot. I'm not as flexible as I used to be. But these things are pretty rad for gripping under rock. And most people can kayak with these. These would be fine on the river, I think, rafting. I think if you were to go buy shoes, that's probably the best thing going. There's a low top version that I think could also be pretty good. I mean, look at that sole. I'm pretty sure they call it stealth rubber now, but it used to be called, it says stealth. It's like, it's the stuff. This is a great shoe for jumping around on rocks. Fairly easy to get on and off. I'd probably go with this. I bought these really cool Adidas sailing shoes a few years ago, and I have a few pair that I'm using now. When those all wear out, I'll probably switch to this unless something else goes out. The other classic option are Astral kayaking shoes. And I'd say like I have had a bunch of these and I do have some. They wear out pretty fast. I think for me, the low yak I use for playboating because they're really flexible. They fit in small boats. I think the Brewer is just a classic. I mean, this is a great shoe. I don't think they grip under rocks. And this is my opinion based on my experience. They don't grip onto rocks super well, but they're pretty good. They say they're stable. Here we go. Stable, ultra grippy, and water ready. Yeah, they're good. They're not as good as the Adidas Stealth. This is a good shoe, but they do wear out. And that's one of the things about shoes and water is because you get them, you if you just wore these around town or went running in them, they last a long time, right? But the fact that they go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, the constant getting them wet and drying them out is very hard on shoes. And so it's really hard to make durable shoes or even find them. So these aren't going to be super durable because you get them wet all the time. but they're solid. They look cool. Actually, this reminds me, I should probably get a pair of these. I really do like the Brewer. It says this G.15 rubber is really great. It's good. Yeah. So it's a good shoe too. I'd probably consider that one. And hopefully, and I know that Palm Equipment in the UK just came out with a new rad shoe. It's just hard to get stuff from the, you know, from Palm here in the US. So yeah, that's another question here. Are there typically brands you need to wear socks with? No, I don't wear socks. I don't wear socks with my River shoes. I don't know anybody who does wear socks and River shoes. I don't think that's a thing. I think you just put your foot in it and go. So for recommendations for brands, yeah, those 510 Trail Cross shoes, the Astro Brewers. Here's some comments. Brewers, yeah, Brewers are fair. Yeah, the RDY shoes are way more grippy. Yeah. And Sean, I'm on my last pair right now. Those are the sale shoes. Those are sweet and they look cool. Yeah, Brewers are fair. They're fine. The 510 Trail Cross, really like them. Yeah. Yeah, the grip, the Brewers, yeah, same thing. The Brewers, they're good. They just don't grip as good as you want them to. But those mountain bike shoes are pretty good. Here's somebody else saying issues with the Brewers, weird sizing. They fall up. Yep, they fall apart and they slip off. Yeah, when I wear a dry suit with the Brewers, I don't wear them when I need them to stay on. If I'm going to go for a dry suit, the other shoe that's really good they make is the Hayek. This is what I wear with a dry suit is the Hayek. The Wrestler too looks kind of cool. That might be one to think about. But I definitely want something more high top because these low top shoes don't stay. Like they stay in your feet if it's just your foot generally. But if there's the dry suit's slipperier and so they can fall out. So if I'm doing something like class 2 and 3, the Brewers are fine. But if I need them to stay on, either the Wrestlers or the Hayeks are the way to go. But yeah, I mean, I think the comment about shoes falling apart, that's just the nature. I mean, all River shoes fall apart unless they're super high quality. And honestly, there aren't that many that don't fall apart, but some fall apart more than others. Okay, so hopefully that answers your question. Move on to the next one. Hi Zach, hope you had a great summer season and perhaps a reflection of how many. Sorry, I'm skipping along. Okay. Would love to get your thoughts, recommendations on a 2-person cataract for Chris and I that would be big enough for 2 seats, small enough to be movable by 2 people, even 1 tube at a time, takedown frame, and can be rigged for day trips with 2 seats or for 4 to 5 day lightweight overnights. So, I mean, that's like you want every possible thing. I want it to be big for 2 people, not too big, not too heavy, breakdown, can do day trips or overnight. Like, what's the ultimate frame that does everything? And this is the problem with rafts. Like, what's the ultimate raft that does everything? Like, what can you be a paddle boat and a gear boat and do the Grand Canyon and do a creek? It's like cars. What's the best car? What car should I get that can, like, gets good gas mileage, but also tows really well and can carry a lot of people, a lot of gear, but can also, like, isn't too big for parking? It's like you're going to make compromises somewhere. But the thing that comes to mind, go back to here, are the class 5 frame. Is it class 5? Adventure gear. Are these frames. I think right now, this is kind of like in terms of what you can buy, I think that they're doing the best stuff. I know there's some more people like planning on making more frames, different frames soon. I think there's ways to make these better, but I think you can go with something like this. You can see 2 people on it. There's a seat for a person here, and you can put a person there, or you can take that off and put gear there. So this could be a multi-day frame or a 2-person day frame. It's expensive. It's $2,700, but I guess, I mean, inflation's happening, so I guess we're dealing with that. And yeah, you can see it work right there. This one doesn't break down. And honestly, I don't think I would buy a breakdown frame for what you want. I think if you're thinking I might have to fly into the Middle Fork or something, I don't think I would use a breakdown frame for everything else you're doing. So I think I'd go with the solid frame. And then if you need a breakdown frame, figure it out. I think he might make breakdown calf frames. I'm not sure. It's just, it really, when you buy breakdown frames, you really kill the rigidity to all of it. The other place, the other people, DRL River Gypsies makes really nice frames. I don't know if he has any that hold, have two seats. Somebody else might there might know better. But Cataract frames, there's like the fully welded ones, which I think they're good. He made like these are definitely good frames. I think the ones that Jesse makes at Class 5 are just a little better, but probably more expensive. I mean, these are probably like $1,500, I'm guessing, instead of $2,700. But these low pro breakdown frames, we use these for our classes. I would just, for when you need to fly in, I would just get one of these and just use this for that specific time you need to break down. But then otherwise use a full, like, if you can afford two frames. If not, I would get this, but you can't really put two people on this frame. So, yeah, hopefully it answers that question. Let's see what Sean says. Search for the Class 5 breakdown cat frame. Yeah, so I have one of Class 5's raft frames that use the little attachments to make them adjustable. I'm not a fan. They probably work fine. Oh, Jesse's here. Sweet. Jesse, those little, yeah, I was just saying, we do make many breakdown variant frames. They'll be listed end of the month. 27th with, oh, sweet. Yeah. Yeah, the breakdown things, Jesse, like I'm personally not a fan of. I know you like them. I think that they're going to be a little weak. Sorry to say that. I know you probably don't like hearing that, but that's just, I have to be honest. I think the low pro is the way to go for breakdown frames if you need low pro frames. Jesse, how much is that frame without the powder coating? If you like, what's that same frame without the powder coating? All right, I'm going to move on. Next question. Let's see. Organizing rigging. Love the show. I'm a huge proselytizer. Boy, I hope that's good. Oh, man. And telling everyone I know about what I've learned here, especially people getting into rafting. Cool. Hopefully proselytizer is good. Let's go back. Yeah, without the powder coating, $2,300. So that's a bit more affordable. Yeah, that's much better. Jesse, you're like, your solid frames are, I mean, it's the standard now. Like it's, if people want to get a capo frame for running hard white water, go to Jesse. That's the place. Okay. Anyway, I'm always looking for more efficient ways to do things. Right now, I roll my cam straps like this and throw them in a mesh bag. This certainly beats the squirrel's nest of unwrapped straps in a bag, but do you know a better way? Yeah. If you're looking for more efficient ways to do things, don't do that. That's like work. I'm not sure why you would do that every time you have to undo it every time and then redo it when you're done. I would just not do that. Just throw your straps in a bag and pick out the ones you want. I already know the problems. All your straps are the same color. And so you probably have a hard time figuring out which is which. So I color code my straps by color. To me, black is 1 foot, orange is 2 foot, light blue is 4 foot, green is 6 foot, navy blue is 8 foot. That's how I do it. And I can just pick the one I want. The reason you have a squirrel's nest of unwrapped straps is because you have a bunch of long straps. And my advice here to keep things efficient, and this is what I would do, is don't have any strap longer than 8 feet. And don't have many of them. Have most of your straps be 6 feet. Don't have your 20-foot straps, your 15-foot straps. If you need a 15-foot strap, just grab 2 8-foot straps. Right? Don't have a bunch of 15-foot straps. It's just confusing, right? It's not that hard to turn 2 8-foots into a 15-foot if you need it. How often do you need just 15 feet? That's why you get the squirrel's nest, is because you have like 15-footers, 20-footers, 18-footers, and they're all connected. If you just have a bag full of 4s, 6s, and 8s, you just grab, you know, like they don't get squirrel nested, and then you can make any length you want. Like if you can make a 12-foot strap with 2 6s. You can make a 14-foot strap with 2 8s or a 8 and a 6. You can make a 30-foot strap with 5/6. Like, you can add straps together. And so I'm of the opinion. And the other thing is, it's really hard to get a 20-foot strap tied over bags tight. You have one place to pull. It's nice when you're rigging bags in to have two buckles so you can pull over here and pull over here and get it super tight. Having a 15-foot strap just rigged over everything with one attachment point is just, I think, inefficient. So my answer would be don't do all this extra work. I will tell you one thing. I've seen people do what you do. They make a little thing like that. I will never, ever, ever do that, ever. Like, that to me seems like a mess. I could, like, spend that time learning how to learning Spanish. You know, like, that just seems incredibly inefficient, a waste of my time. So, yeah, I would just not do that. Yep. Okay, here we go. Jay's got a comment. I found over many years that 9-foot straps are the most versatile. 90% of my straps. Interesting. I think the 6 feet's the most versatile. I would say, like, not 90%, 6 and 4. I mean, 90% of my straps are 6 and 4. And light blue is 4, green is 6. It's just easy to know what you're getting. I mean, the most versatile strap is 1 foot. I mean, you can just, if you need a 10-foot strap, you just grab 10 1-footers. That's the most versatile strap. 9-footer, what if you need, like, Jay, what if you need a 4-footer? Do you grab a 9-footer? You know, like it's too long for a lot of things. So, I mean, I mean, that's cool, but I wouldn't make 90% of my straps 4 feet. Let's say five feet, and then just put two of them together for a 9-foot. Yeah. And also a bunch of 9-foot straps. That's kind of the length where you start getting the squirrel's nest. All right, Jay, like past 8 is where they really start to tangle when they're in a bag, or in a bucket or whatever. Color coded straps is the way. Yep. When I'm bored, I strapped 1 6-foot all around the other 6 feet, then can pull. I'm not sure what that means, but. Yeah, it's a bummer because NRS, I mean, most people buy NRS straps. That's just like, people think, I mean, they're actually like, it's like Kleenex. NRS straps are like Kleenex. Like, it's just what they are. They're not even cam straps, they're NRS straps. And all NRS straps are pretty much blue, and their size is on the strap, and their branding, NRS, is on their strap. I'd much rather have color-coded straps by length than a bunch of blue straps that has NRS 6-foot, NRS whatever. Yeah, and that's a great idea. Yeah, just color code the buckles. That's a good idea too. Yeah. See a lot of people do that. Okay. Next question. Jukla gotta go. Saw this new toilet system from Jukla and wanted to get your thoughts on it. It's significantly cheaper than some of the other options out there and seems to like it would work well for smaller groups. The Jukla gotta go. That is so interesting. What is this? Okay, I gotta Google this because that photo is not big enough. Gotta go. Jukla gotta go. Okay, here we go. Let me bring this up. This thing. $251 for the eco toilet. What's a chemical toilet? What's the difference? Oh, it separates solids from liquids. The Jukla Gotta Go toilet gives you all the options. Superior to other chemical toilets in that it doesn't fill up a solids tank. The solids tank with urine and flush water. Interesting. It lets you use a bag. Huh. My impression. My first thoughts is it looks like it's hard to rig into a raft. Like, there's not good rig down points. I like that the toilet seat is attached. It's not like a separate, you know, last we talked about that STG toilet the other week that had like a separate box for the toilet seat that fits on top. I like it. It's just one system. It looks cool. You know, if I was doing, I can just already look at this and tell you now, I just feel like this might be really good for like city living, like car camping. It just seems like a lot of things that can break. To me, like a lot of just parts, and the capacity looks like there's a poop capacity and a pee capacity, and I'm not sure you can clean this in a Groover dump station like a scat machine. I'm not sure that this fits in a scat machine. I have no idea. So It's $250. It looks to be adequate. It looks smart. Oh, that there you go. You can. I want to go back. Here you go. It has a poop and pee spot. Oh man, where did that photo go? But my here we go. That photo right there. Like, yeah, that's interesting. You can poop and pee. Yeah, and who can make it in that hole? I mean, honestly, there's gonna be some cleaning up. Like I'd rather just have the whole hole be a hole, right? Then you don't have to aim so carefully. That's a tough aim right there into that hole. So poop's gonna get on the side, and then somebody's gonna have to clean it. And yeah, it sounds gross. So what I like about it is it's just one little package, $250. Cool. What I don't like is it looks like a lot of parts that can break. I bet it will break. It's tough to rig in a raft. It's got a small poop hole for $250. I'm just like, can't say this enough. The Selway Fabrication toilets are where it's at. It's just, why not get this for, and that's twice the price, $509. Their website doesn't work at all. You can't even buy things here. Look, everything's broken. But if you can find one of these, which I'm sure you can, like it says our business partner, Northwest Rafting Company. We're not actually business partners, okay? I've made some videos for them. I like the owner a lot. So he like put that on here. Hopefully it links to my website. It doesn't link to my website. That's too bad. They are genuinely really good. That's why I write blogs about them. That's why I write videos about them. That's why I proselytize them, which I hope is a nice thing to say about them, because they're really good. There's a big hole to poop into. They're made to use with Groover jump stations. I would definitely pay twice the money for this. If you have $250, that's all you have and you need to poop, I think this would be fine, but not very good. I would choose, though, instead. I feel like NRS has a toilet that I like. I forget the cheap toilet I like. Let's see. I'm Googling it. Toilet waste systems. If I'm doing this on the cheap, I'm going to go with one of these. I use these. They're light. They're simple. You poop in a bag, whatever. It's not a big deal. You just have some bags of poop. Bring a bucket. Put your poop in the bucket. It opens up to be like this, and then you put the little clean waste bags. This is cheaper, it's simpler, unless you know, if that's your size, that's the way to go. Or this like rest stop thing. If you're trying to save money, just get like, I've never used the EcoSafe, but I'm sure it's fine. Or just go with this thing where you poop in a bucket. With these, yeah, I would do something like that for now. If it was me, if I'm on a budget, I'd probably go with one of those. So, yep. So that's it. I think that's all my questions for the day. If you have questions, throw them up there now, or we're going to shut this show down here real quick. I'll get to these comments here and see what people are saying. If you already have this, okay. That word means proselytizing. Cool. I learned a word today. Yeah, it's hard to beat the riverbank. I just don't. And guys, I have used a lot of groovers in my day. I still continue to use different groovers. I've cleaned hundreds and hundreds of groovers in my career. Maybe, I mean, I would even guess it could. Is it possible to be in 1,000? I don't know. I've cleaned a lot of groovers in every way possible. The riverbank just to me just wins. All right. I have a unique capboarding system. Unless instead of 12 straps on 12 D-rings, I use 6 on 12. Yeah, that makes sense. I would rather just use 12 on 12, honestly. But yeah, to each his own. It doesn't look like you can seal that tank off. That would be a problem too. Yeah, that might be a problem too. There's a separator inside the bowl. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure the Jukla is going to work. I just, there's so many parts, little things that can break. It's a river trip. I don't know. Okay, here we go. The EcoSafe is solid for privates. A few drawbacks in the major. Yeah, I feel the EcoSafe is probably fine. I've seen people use the EcoSafe. And it's $270. I feel like, am I right to say that this is designed to sit in a rocket box? Like, it looks like this tank, you need a rocket box, lives inside of a rocket box, and this separate lid will fit into another rocket box. So it's another two rocket box system, two rocket box system. I think that's what this is, which is fine. Yeah, it's adequate. It's $270. You know, if you're a private group of like 6 to 8 people on like a 3 or 4 day trip, it's probably fine. It's probably just fine. Yeah, I think I just go with this. It's good. Thanks, thanks, Mike, for backing that up. Yeah, it lives in a rocket box. The lid can go in a dry bag to avoid. Yeah, you know, you can put the lid in a dry bag. You know, to me, that looks plasticky. And so I feel like it's one of those things that you could break. Like if somebody fell on it in a rapid or something, that's how these things break. Somebody steps on it, that's you break your toilet seat. It's a bummer. And so I can see why you'd put in a rocket box, but you could put it in some kind of dry bag and protect it for sure. But honestly, like, and these, the, like going back to these, I've used these a ton. Simple, cheap, easy. I'm a massive fan. But it's worth the extra money. Just get the Subway. Just get the Subway toilet. If you, I guess they're hard to find right now, but if you can get one, get it. It's worth the money. It's definitely worth the money. All right, well, that's another show. I want to thank you all for watching. I'll be back here next week. I'm in town, so we'll have another show next Tuesday as long as there's questions. I really appreciate everybody that submitted questions. I want to remind you all, I have been putting a ton of time into this online rescue course. If you're taking it and you're like, hey, Zach, do a lesson on this. Like I'm doing less. Every day I'm adding lessons to it. So if you do like it and you're like, hey, add this in, add that in. Like I'm looking for more ideas to make it better. So it's one of the fun things about doing online courses. I can take requests if anybody wants it. So with that, here we go. Sean says clean waste is great for smaller trips. Rest stop, round bucket kind of sucks. The round bucket kind of sucks, but it's cheap. So, but that's it for this episode. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you all next week.